have your Bibles. Luke chapter 10. This story was told in answer to a lawyer that said, in challenge to Jesus Christ, verse 25, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. He thought he would outsmart the Lord Jesus. So he said to him, who is my neighbor? In other words, the Lord Jesus. He said, what's the greatest command? Basically, you'll see. And verse number 25, master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord knew he wasn't interested in being saved. He was trying to get his heart to be tender. He was trying to get him to a repentant attitude. He was trying to get him to a tender attitude, a tender spirit. He was trying to get him to really a Christmas spirit. That's what he was trying to get him to do. He was trying to get him to take his eyes off of himself and put it on the needs of others. He was trying to get him to have a Christmas spirit. And so the Lord Jesus says, well, let me tell you a story. You'll notice in verse number 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, it was always very dangerous to travel between villages in the Middle East because robbers and thieves would always be around there. So they traveled in caravans many times. And that's part of the reason why Joseph and Mary had to be so careful when they were going down to Bethlehem. And so you'll notice here that apparently this gentleman was traveling alone. And as he was, we don't know if this was on purpose or if he had had plans with somebody else and they had backed out and he still needed to go. The bottom line is, this is a story that Jesus gives to affect our spirit, to cause us to see that everything is not about us, to give us a Christmas spirit. Now, at the end of the message, I'm going to change this from a Christmas spirit to a Christian spirit. But I want you to see what does that. Now, Christmas spirit is this. Notice the story. You'll see, I want you to notice the cruel circumstances. Notice these cruel things that happen. He's on his way. He's on a trip. You'll notice, if you would, in verse 30, and he fell among thieves. So they jumped him, and the Bible says they beat him. You'll notice they fell among thieves who stripped him of his raiment and wounded him. So they beat him. We don't know if they hit him on the head. We don't know if they stabbed him. But then they stripped him of his clothes. Now, he's got just his underclothes on. He's stripped down. He's embarrassed, but he's hurting. Apparently, he is so beaten that he cannot lift himself up. He's on the side of the road in a ditch, and people walk by. They drive by their donkeys and their carts, and no one has helped him. And the Lord Jesus gives this example, and he says, look, and there were two men that should have helped. And so he's trying to get us to understand that many times we should have the right attitude, the Christmas spirit, but we don't. And so he points it out. He says, well, notice if you would, verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest. There is no such thing as luck. There is no such thing as chance. God orchestrates everything in our lives. If the Lord Jesus knows when we sit down and he knows our thoughts afar off and he knows the number of hairs on our head, do you think he leaves anything else to chance? He does not. Everything in our life is by design. That doesn't mean we follow his will in our life, but he does have things planned that are best for us. Just like parents, you have things planned for your children. I want you to get up in the morning, get your breakfast. I want you to get your shower, get your breakfast, get cleaned up. I want you to get ready for school. I want you to go to school. I want you to do well in your schoolwork. You'll come back and do your homework. And then if you'd like to, you can play. And so their lives for 10, 12 years are pretty well lined out. And we as parents give it to them. That's part of the reason why kids don't like school for the most part. It's because they don't get to choose much. You don't get to choose which courses you take a lot of times. It's sort of forced upon us. But it's like going to the doctor. It's sort of forced upon us, but it's important. And you as parents are ones that are trying to guide their lives to prepare them for life. And the Lord Jesus has got things lined out in all of our lives to prepare us to serve him, to prepare us for a home in heaven with him for all eternity. But we are people that are servants of him for this life. And so he's got things planned out for us. Doesn't mean that everything is planned, just like your children's lives, everything are not planned. But we make choices. And you'll notice here, there's a choice that this gentleman walks by, this priest, you'll notice. And by chance, verse 31, there came a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So you'll notice, it's a very cruel thing to see someone beaten up, stripped, bloodied, laying, and cannot help themselves. And you walk by, see it, and just keep right on going. It's not like he didn't notice it, but his heart was hard. He didn't have a Christmas spirit to say, well, look, I can't help you right now, but I'm going to leave you with $50. I'm going to leave you with $20, and I'm going to go and get somebody to come back and help you. I can't help you right now, but I'm going to come back. I can't do anything right this minute, but I don't want to leave you here by yourself. Nothing. Sees him, walks right on by. We can do that this Christmas. Apparently this priest had some things on his docket. He was not going to stop for anybody. Is that us? We have our lives planned out. And it doesn't include us being good to someone else who needs it. That's the Christian spirit. That's the Christmas spirit. The Christmas spirit is we see other people and we want to do something. Well, you'll notice the second one comes by. Now keep in mind, this is a priest. Of all kinds of people that should stop and help, it should be a priest. It should be somebody that's religious. Well, you notice the next person. And likewise, verse 32, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So you'll notice he does a little bit more. He came, sort of came over where he was, looked at him, and then just kept right on going. You'll notice that neither one of them wanted to help. Now, neither one of them took time out of their schedule to make a difference. The Christmas spirit is not like that. Now you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 33, but a certain Samaritan. Now let me tell you about this Samaritan. Samaritan is someone that's half Jewish and half something else. In other words, a father or mother was Jewish, but the father or mother, the other parent was not. They could have been Greek, they could have been Roman, they could have been all kinds of things. And so they're considered to be Samaritans. They're not full-blooded Jews. And so they're sort of looked down on. Sort of like if you're from Texas and you are coming from Ohio, you're sort of looked down on a little bit, okay? For a little while. But then you'll notice here, it's very serious here. I mean, I'm joking, obviously, but here it's very serious. There's a certain pride among the Jewish people that everybody else is beneath them. And here's a Samaritan that doesn't fit. So you know what? He's got a softer heart. And it's important that you and I are not Americans that we're somebody. We're Virginians, so we're somebody. We're Christians, so we're somebody. We have to have the attitude of humility. And this Samaritan had it because he was not accepted. He was not a Jewish person. He was considered to be an outcast. So he knew what it was like to not be helped. And so what do you notice what he does? He says he journeyed and came where he was. The first thing is you'll notice this cruel circumstances is here this guy has two people walk by, both spiritual people, and none of them helping. None of them walk over, sit him up, give him water to drink. They do nothing. And you and I can be very careful. If we're not very careful, we can see someone hurting and do nothing. It's the kind of thing that you see someone that loses a job and we do nothing. We don't even pray for them. We don't send them a card. We don't We don't go up to them and make a comment, I'm praying for you. We do nothing. These are cruel circumstances. When you see someone that's hurting and we do nothing to help. And so you'll notice here, notice the second thing is there's a correct choice to be made. The cruel circumstances are going to happen to everybody in this room. You're going to have some cruel circumstances in your life. You're going to have a flat tire. You're going to get sick. You're going to have COVID. Someone you love is going to have COVID. And you're going to want someone to help them. That's a part of the reason that you and I look at doctors and nurses with such respect, because basically they've taken an oath to help people, even at their own risk. And that's the Christmas spirit. But there are some of us in this room that we don't have that spirit if we're not careful. We'll just look at our own selves and say, you know, what's best for me? What can I do? What's best for my family? And we put a circle around it and we don't get outside that. Just like these two, those are cruel circumstances. But there is a correct choice. And the correct choice is, look, when you see something that you can do, you see someone that has a need, you go to them. And notice what he does. Notice this, the choices that he makes. When he came where he was, and when he saw him, and he had compassion on him. Now, I want you to see, you and I make a choice. Am I going to do anything or am I not? That's the choice. Not what can I do, am I going to do anything? Now, how many of you see people from time to time that are on the side of the road that that are down on my luck, could you help me? And it pulls at your heartstrings. And there's one particular person I know of that's in a wheelchair, and I see him and it pulls on my heartstrings because I remember Susan in the wheelchair. And so I try to keep some dollars in my pocket so that I can help. And when I don't have those dollars in my pocket, it grieves me. And I look at it and I got to drive on by and I say, Lord, I'm sorry. You have a choice to make. Are you going to help? Someone that is sick, that's a neighbor, you have a choice to make. There is a correct choice. One that's pleasing to God. What will you and I do? So I want you to notice the correct choice was made here by someone who knew what it was like not to have things and not to have help. And maybe you're that way, but don't let the way other people treat you, bad or good, affect your correct choice. Everybody in this room, what am I going to do to be a blessing to someone else? If I know someone at work that's not saved, if I know someone in the neighborhood that's not saved, if I see someone that's got a bad attitude, a bad spirit, how can I affect that person? Am I going to make any decision, correct or not? And this man, the Samaritan, made the correct decision. I want you to see what it was. Notice the comforting compassion that he had. Look in verse 33. And he had compassion on him. Now you've got to let a circumstance, a cruel circumstance, affect your heart. I mean, it's easy as parents. Let me tell you this. If you've got a child that's 2 or 3 years old and they mash their finger, it's easy for you to show compassion to them. Oh, come here, honey, let me kiss it. And we pick them up and hold them, they cry. It's easy to have compassion on that. But it's not so easy to have compassion on somebody that's 22 years old, that got themselves in financial trouble. They deserve it. They've made bad decisions. And you can say, hey, you're on your own. Or do we make the correct decision and say, what can I do? The first thing is let it get to our heart and have compassion. If you don't have compassion for people, you have no Christmas spirit. Compassion is for everybody. It's whenever your heart is touched. All of us should have compassion, especially Christians, because the Lord Jesus had compassion on us. And so the least we can do is give it back to other people. You'll notice here, he had compassion. He let it get to his heart. He felt for him. He looked at him and he says, oh my, he's in really bad trouble. He's in bad shape. Then the next step is, what can I do? Now he made the decision, the correct decision, I'm going to go help. I don't know how, but I want to help. And you and I have to learn to make the Christian spirit a part of our lives, not just the Christmas spirit in the month of December, but year round. But let's highlight it in December. You have an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. What will you do? If you noticed their cruel circumstances, have you made the correct decision? Have you allowed your heart to show compassion? Have you allowed yourself to feel for them? Now, you got to understand, this comforting compassion will do something for them that you have any kind of concern and care. I've had children that maybe at school have gotten hurt, and I could go over and sit down with them. Maybe they slammed a door on their finger, or maybe another child wasn't kind to them. And you sit down with them and say, hey, come here, let's talk about that for a minute. And you can just kind of see that they sort of open up. And just your compassion helps. You know, I don't know about you, but one of the things I miss about Susan is when I was sick, and thankfully I haven't been sick much, but when I was sick, she would always show compassion to me. She'd come into the room and say, hey, honey, what do you need? Can I get you some soup? Why does they always offer soup when you're sick? Why don't they offer, would you like a steak? Would you like it? Would you like your baked potato with cheese? And what would you like? I mean, honey, would you like meatloaf? Would you like salmon? What would you like? Could I get you some soup? Now, I know she's trying to be compassionate because that's probably what's best for me. But she would come into the room and sit down on the bed, and it's almost like she forgot about herself that she could get sick. And she showed compassion to me. Now, I didn't get well in those 5 minutes she was there, but I felt better. And you can help your brother feel better or your sister feel better when they make a mistake, when they make a bad grade in school. Do you say, hey, you know, you didn't study, you deserve that? No compassion. That's not the Christmas spirit. The Christmas spirit ignores what the person did. You don't find any point here where the Good Samaritan walks over and says, hey, why are you out here alone? What did you do? He just shows compassion. He feels for him. And folks, we as Christians got to learn to show compassion. If you show compassion to your husband or to your wife, how many of you know when your wife or husband is hurting a little bit, having a difficult day? Would you raise your hand? Let's see it. Okay. Do you show compassion then? Do you say, hey, honey, is there something I can pray about with you? I want you to know this. I love you. I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to know you're not alone. It just does something. That's the Christmas spirit. And brothers and sisters ought to have that. You know, they're brothers and sisters that fight. That's not the Christmas spirit. They argue and debate, and that's my toy and this is my toy. That is not the Christmas spirit. The Christmas spirit is when you show compassion to someone, you feel for them in their need. Now, folks, listen to me. There's always going to be people that take advantage of that. There are always going to be people that say, you know, well, you know, woe is me. I remember I heard some from time to time I hear about people that, you know, whenever they have an opportunity, well, I'll give you an example. We would give out Thanksgiving turkeys. We give out Thanksgiving turkeys from time to time. We'd buy them in the past, and we'd take them out to people and try to give them to people, or Thanksgiving baskets, and give them to people. And I want to do more of that kind of thing. Once we kind of get everything squared away and get rid of COVID, I want us to be able to do things like that and put together a Thanksgiving basket, a Christmas basket. It's just there's not a lot of people in this area that you live in a $400,000 or $500,000 house. It's hard to identify the people that are really hurting that don't have the money for a meal. And so, you know, we started finding out people that were having a hard time. And we get a list, and we had the list, and that list is the most difficult, is to find somebody in this area that you can be compassionate toward. Well, there's this one lady that we'd drive by. She had four or five children, and apparently a husband had left her, and We went over, we probably gave her a turkey 3 years in a row for Thanksgiving. And then 1 year, she picks up the phone, calls, says, hey, this is Mrs. So-and-so. I live over here, right here on King Street. And where's my turkey? What do you mean? Well, you guys bring a turkey every year and I need it. Now, you know, my Christmas spirit kind of went out the window. And so, and, you know, and I'd like to have the dressing with it, and I'd like to have the green beans also, bring the whole thing. You know, it's hard to have compassion toward them. I'm not talking about those kind of people. You and I have to love them anyway and realize there's something behind. Maybe they do expect people to give to them a lot, but we still have to love them to give them the gospel, if nothing else. We want to be a blessing. Don't let the attitude of others affect yours. This man here, we don't know what the poor person said. It doesn't tell us, hey, it's not, I got jumped and I didn't deserve it, and this is not fair. Life is not fair to me. We don't know if he said anything like that. What we do know is that the Good Samaritan went to him and he had compassion on him. And the Bible says he cleaned up his wounds. He picked him up and set him on his own animal and walked into a hotel. Now, he put himself out for him. And you notice, I want you to see one little thing. I hope you've noticed this in verse 35. And on the morrow when he departed, he takes him to the hotel, puts him in the hotel, he takes care of him. Notice in verse 34, and he took care of him. So he not only shows compassion, but he does something. He has some good deeds involved. He picks him up, puts him on his own animal, walks him to the hotel, gets him there. Notice, if you would, in verse 35, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence. Now, do you understand what that is? That's 2 days' wages. If you make $100 a day, $300 a day, $500 a day, can you imagine taking out of your wallet? This guy's on a trip. The Bible says as he journeyed. So he's on a trip, so he's got some money with him. They don't have banks like we do today and debit cards and credit cards. They just take money. So he's got money with him, and he sees this gentleman. He sees he has a need. He helps him at the hotel, and he takes out 2 days' wages, $500, $1,000. And notice what happens. He took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Do you realize he didn't put a limit on it? He said, take him his meals, feed him. If he needs medicine, get it for him. When I come back through here, I'll pay you whatever it is. Oh my goodness, what a Christian spirit. He's willing to give of his own. Is that us? Oh, we'll go to the store and shop. You know, we'll buy our children so many presents that I got tickled at Brother Brandon this morning. He was describing in Sunday school, when you want one particular present and you get other presents, you have the tendency to open that present up, set it aside because you're looking for that one. You know, set it up, looking for that one. I get tickled. You know, if I bought the other 2 presents, can I take those back? Because we want everything that we do to mean something to somebody. How many of you have ever gotten gloves? Okay, now I like gloves. I've got 3 or 4 pairs of gloves, but I remember I had an aunt, and she taught me how to water ski. She was 60-something years old, and she took me water skiing, and she would always get gifts that, well, anyway, she would give me a pair of gloves, and it's Texas. You play football at 75 degrees on Christmas. When do you need gloves? So, you know, I mean, nice gloves. So it was nice, and I could say, thank you. I really appreciate the gloves. I don't know when I'm going to wear them, but thank you very much. But do you understand, for someone to say, She sacrificed for those. She didn't have a lot of money. I wish that I had a better attitude and appreciation toward every gift. That's the Christmas spirit. Thank you. Thank you. We have to teach our children, the Christians, the Christmas spirit, because we ourselves must have it. It's not just, how can I help other people, but I want to be grateful. It never says in this story that this man ever said a thank you. Now, I'm going to get in a minute, I'm going to get to the difference between a Christmas spirit and a Christian spirit. But you'll notice, he takes it out and he says, I will repay thee. Now then Jesus asks the question, verse 36, which has got an obvious answer, rhetorical question. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said unto him, he that showed mercy unto him. Now understand, compassion is we feel for somebody. But mercy is we give them, we don't give them what they deserve. We're better to them than they deserve. So my encouragement to you is have a Christmas spirit. This Christmas, let some, let the plights of others, the circumstances of others, let them get to your heart a little bit. Care about your brother. Care about your sister if you're in a family. If you see something that you can do for them, you can walk up and just say, now let me just give you a few thoughts. You can walk up to your brother or sister and say, you know, I know you're struggling with math. I know you got Mr. G, so you're struggling with math. So I wanted to pray for you. Maybe you've got Mr. Williams and you're having to study Chaucer. I'm praying for you. Or you're studying British literature and he loves British. How many of you love British literature? That's what I thought. Okay. All right. I'm sorry, Brother Williams. Okay. But I'm going to pray for you. Now listen very carefully. All of these things help us. They make us more well-rounded. They cause us to have a better education. How many of you took courses in school that you didn't like and you see no reason for having taken that course? Would you raise your hand? Let me see it. Okay. Understand, that's going to happen. And when you're taking those courses, somebody needs to pray for you. That you have a good spirit, that you work hard at it. And you know what? It's a help when my mother would come up and say, son, I know you're struggling with that class. I want you to know I'm praying for you. I know you're struggling with school. I want you to know I'm praying for you. Or whenever you get a note in the mail, you can send a note. What happens if you left a note for your brother? I want you to know I love you. I'm praying for you in school tomorrow. We just switched over to online schooling till January. And I feel terrible about it because I know it's more difficult. And I love our kids, and I want to make it best for them. I grieve over that. And I want you to know, kids, I'm praying for you because it's not easy to go online. I mean, yesterday, Friday, I had a board of supervisors meeting just before the funeral, and I'm sitting in there, and the lawyer and the supervisor people there, and they said, okay, Pastor Pittman, explain this, and my internet said unstable, and I went off. I want to take my computer and find Drew Gardner and throw it out the window and say, there's your computer. But it's not Drew's fault. But what I'm trying to say is that it'd really be nice if somebody could have said, you know, hey, Pastor, you know, I'm praying for you because I know this. It's tough whenever you're trying to do something good, trying to get something going good for our church and computer goes down. And so then I got to thinking about it. You know, keep in mind, I didn't have the Christmas spirit because I'm sitting there, my computer's dead, and I get on my phone, I'm trying to call the guy. I finally call, then it comes back up. And so I start talking again, and then I finally find Marcus, our tech guy. I said, what's happening? Or Drew, I don't remember who it was now. I was so fogged up. What's happening? And they said, well, it's a brownout. The power's going down and out and up. And they said, and all the teachers are having trouble too. And I went, oh. I was only thinking about me. That's not the Christmas spirit. Lord, what about those young people that just went offline and they're trying to get a concept in geometry, the Pythagorean theorem? They're trying to get a concept from Julius Caesar. And they didn't know who that is, nor do they care. And they're trying to get it figured out. They're trying to learn. And Lord, would you help them? Lord, would you please help them? You know, all I thought about, woe is me. I got to get this done. Folks, all of us have to be careful to have compassion for other people. And you know, not only that, all the teachers were having trouble. All the students were having trouble. Now we came right back up. And you know, and it started working again. I'm not having compassion for Drew. You know how many hours Drew has spent up here trying to fix our internet so that it works 24/7? How about Walter Baldwin or Chase or Marcus? Those guys have spent hours and hours and hours trying to make sure every little thing works and nothing goes down. And I'm ready to throw my computer out and blame the whole world. Lord, forgive me. I need a Christmas spirit. Who else is having a hard time here? Lord, would you bless all the young people? Would you help them? Lord, I know they're struggling too. Would you help them? That's the Christmas spirit. Now, I didn't take $2 out and buy Drew lunch because he was working so hard. I didn't do that. I probably should have taken some money and said, Drew, I know you're having a bad day. Marcus, you're having a bad day. Let me buy you lunch. I could have done that. That would have been what the Good Samaritan would have done. We always have to think about, number one, what's the correct decision? Difficult circumstances, what's the correct decision? What's the correct choice? I want to show compassion. But I want you to notice, it's a Christmas challenge to always try to do the right thing. I want to know if I can be a blessing to someone. I want to know if I can. Now, it's easier for me to pray for Brandon, Benita, and Linda because they're going through a hard time with the loss of their husband and father-in-law. That was easy for me. But there's some people here that maybe they've lost someone 5 years ago and they're still struggling, or 10 years ago or 15 years ago. You know, I want to pray for them too. It's not just the thing that's immediately at your face. Folks, we're servants. The Christmas spirit looks at people around and says, what can I do to be a blessing to them? How can I be a help to them? You have to see. They all saw, but none of them did anything except the Samaritans. Do you see the need of other people? You have to open your eyes. We have to see it, and we have to let it affect our hearts. We have to make the correct choice. But now let's say, for instance, I would have made the correct choice. And I want you to notice one thing about this passage. Without looking at your Bible, does anybody know what the next illustration in Scripture is? Does anybody know what the next illustration that takes the Christmas spirit of the Good Samaritan and takes it into the Christian spirit, the spirit that honors God? Look, if you would, verse 38. Immediately after that, now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village. Now Jesus Christ is taking his disciples from just opening your eyes and making the correct choice and having compassion, now to doing it for the right reason. He's taking it from a Christmas spirit to a Christian spirit. Notice what he does in verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus said unto her, answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. You know what? Martha, you're a servant. You see the needs of other people. You're trying to provide food for them. But you got to have the right attitude about it. You got to do it for the right reason. And Mary has chosen that right reason. That is, because I love the Lord. Because I want to please the Lord. Notice, if you would, the wording, verse 42. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. It's a single part of the whole problem. Yes, you have to open your eyes and see the need. That's step one. Two, you have to choose. You have to have the correct choice. Three, You've got to have a compassionate spirit. You've got to have this comforting compassion that you give to people. And four, you've got to look at it and say, you know, there's a Christian challenge here. It's hard for me to do right consistent. It's hard for me to love my brother and pray for him whenever he doesn't study very much, or whenever my sister's not paying attention in class, but I'm going to pray for them anyway. I'm going to do the right thing. Now, why are you doing the right thing? It's one thing if I choose to give a dollar or $5 bill to this man in a wheelchair sitting in front of Chick-fil-A with two children, he says. But the answer next is, going from a Christmas spirit to a Christian spirit is, why did I do it? It's right past the Samaritan. Mary had chosen the good part. She's chosen to make the correct choice, to show compassion, to meet the challenge, because she loves Christ. Today, could you open your eyes? Could we open our eyes and see other people that are hurting? And see somebody else that has a need? And see someone else that we can be a blessing to? Now, then, Lord, show me so that I can please you. Do we do it for his sake? Do kind things, whether other notice or not. It's the deeds that matter, not the size of the audience that see it, because God always sees it. Good deeds should be done with intention and not for attention. And finally, work for a cause, not for applause, and the Lord will be pleased with you. Today, let's have a Christian spirit. Not just open our eyes to the needs of others. And maybe you can send a card today. Just want you to know I'm praying for you. Maybe you can go up to someone today and put your arm around them and say, "Hey, I'm praying you get that job. I'm praying for your grandmother that's ill. I want you to know you can make a phone call to someone and say, 'Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I know you're at home sick. I know you can't come to church. You're worried about COVID, but I want you to know I've missed you. I want you to know I care about you.'" We can do things that are Christian spirits, that are Christmas spirits, and change them to a Christian spirit because we did it for the Lord's sake. Today, could I challenge you? Do things for a cause. Do things for a reason. Make it your intention to make the correct choice. I am certain that this Samaritan did not plan that day, "I'm going to find somebody on the side of the road and help him." But I can guarantee you, he had the spirit of saying, "I'm going to do what's right today, no matter what it is. I don't know what I'm going to face. Oh my goodness, I need to help him." He had the Christmas spirit before Christmas was ever an event. Today, let's have a Christmas spirit and elevate it to a Christian spirit. Let's bow forward in prayer. I'm reminded that Martha served, but she did it maybe for a little bit of applause or attention. We're to do our good deeds intentionally without getting attention. We're to do it because we love the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, "You give your money without people noticing it." Why? Because God sees it. Do you understand today the Lord sees your spirit today? Is it a Christmas spirit? Can I challenge you today to say, "I'm going to be good to my brother or sister. I'm going to find some way I can be a blessing to them. I'm going to find somebody that's hurting and I'm going to be a blessing." Maybe you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I don't know I'm going to heaven. We'd love to help you with it. I want to help you know how you can go to heaven and have it all settled. The greatest of Christian spirits is when you share the gospel with someone. And so I want to encourage you to share the gospel this Christmas. Maybe you can't give out a tract, but maybe you can give a word of witness to somebody. Let me encourage you today. Maybe you can, you're here on the internet and you're watching. Maybe there's somebody in your family. You can send a note. I'm going to send a note to some of my family, a Christmas card, and say, I'm praying for you. I love you. I want to see you in heaven one day. Today, let's have the Christmas spirit. Lord Jesus, those that are here today that are not sure of heaven, Father, would you help them to make the correct choice? Father, those that are here today, and they've been sort of like me, just focused on their own problems. Lord Jesus, please give us the Christmas spirit. And Lord, give it to us for the right reason. Lord, for your sake, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. In your name we pray. Amen.